friends, our ending talk is about the anxieties of a seeker. Appropriate, because William Judge, we said, was a victorious disciple. Before you become a disciple, you begin the journey as a seeker. And one of the things which he has made very clear in his letters that have helped me is about the Guru-Chela relation. And he has explicitly stated of there being a whole chain which he calls as Guru-Parampara chain. And he says that this chain begins with the person who taught you your alphabet in school, and then there is a greater teacher who maybe taught you in college, and then there is a still higher teacher who might have explained to you the philosophy, and a still higher teacher who you call Guru, who gives you your second birth or spiritual rebirth. And it goes on and on, endlessly almost, till you come to what Theosophy calls the Dhyani Buddha. And there are 7 Dhyani Buddhas, and according to Theosophy, the whole humanity is divided in 2, as it were 7 parts. Each one of us belonging to one of the 7 Dhyani Buddhas, and these are the ones who are, in a way, following the journey of each soul, which is under their care. And that journey is the evolutionary journey as well as the spiritual journey. And at the end of that journey, you come face to face with the Dhyani Buddha in your last initiation. The important point that is made is that, therefore, this whole journey of spiritual life is to be taken in real earnest. And what is also required is that you must have due reverence for no matter what the teacher is like. And therefore, he quotes that in the East, they are told that if you, even in your thought, are disrespectful to your teacher, then it will harm your moral being. So this being the kind of setup about the spiritual life, let's think about the seekers. And you find that there are seekers and seekers. Not that necessarily when someone says he's an aspirant or he's a spiritual seeker and he is interested in adhyatma and all that, he's necessarily in a dead earnest. No. There are those who are casual seekers. As Vadiyaji beautifully describes, that they are like people who are at buffet dinner, they want to taste a little of every dish. So these are also the same. Today you will find them in the Vedant class, tomorrow it will be, they will be found in some meditation class, the third day they will come for a little while in Theosophy and then disappear, and then the fourth day you meet them somewhere else. So these are very casual seekers. Some of them have only heard the name moksha, self-realization, nirvana, and they are just attracted and they feel, let us see. And then there are jignasu, who are doing in a way the same thing, but only studying one philosophy after other. As the Gita says, they are called jignasu, and they would be going from philosophy to philosophy just to satisfy a different kind of sattvic curiosity, to find out what Vedanta says, what Theosophy says, what the occult says, and this, that, and the other. Then there are those who are, as again, the 4 kinds of devotees are mentioned, there are the artha. How many would not have really first been drawn through any kind of spirituality as a result of pain, suffering, adversity? If you are suffering from a disease, first you will try and find out how it can be cured. Then you might go and explore alternative therapies. Something might strike. Pranic healing, Reiki, mental healing. And then for a while, of course, you will want to learn and maybe do the same for others. Side by side, somewhere, for some people, there is also the interest aroused in, why did this happen to me? What is the meaning and purpose of life? Now, 2 things could happen. Either that puts you on the path so that you continue whatever you had chosen till the end of life, or again. Once you are all right, life has become smooth. Gone is the alternative therapy. Gone is the philosophy which was so attractive for a while, and you drop it. Then those others are the ones who come to a particular spiritual life and spiritual institution because of the satiety they feel with all the pleasures, with all the comforts, with all the riches that they have. Now and then you hear of them. Once we had told about a Jaina, diamond merchant, a very successful businessman, comes to a point in a life where he feels, I've seen all, I've done all, I've been all, everywhere. Now there is no interest. Sudden indifference to riches and wealth, and it was the little thing which came in the newspaper said that he made little packets of his diamonds, and while going to take his diksha, on the way in the crowd, he was just throwing the potlis of the diamond. That much of detachment comes. And then you take to a certain philosophy or a certain path. So, what is it that makes you a seeker? How long you remain a seeker and inquirer? Why do you do it? All that matters. The casual seekers who go here, there and everywhere, not that they are not interested, but somehow or the other, they are not committed. And this is a serious business, as in Buddhism, we are told that the person who takes to the spiritual life, even after going a long way, you find that some of them suffer from certain defects, and they are described as 10 fetters. There are 10 chains which hold them. And one of the fetters is called vichikitsa. Vichikitsa means wavering. So today he is attending to this philosophy, tomorrow to that philosophy, tomorrow to some meditation class. But he's not committing himself to anything. He sits on a fence without committing himself. This is a great hindrance. When you do not commit, you are not going to make any progress. It's again, as we said, just tasting a different dish and then moving on till your life doing just that. So, after we are talking about settling down to a particular philosophy, let us say to theosophy. And the seeker, no matter whether it is theosophy, whether it is Vedanta, whether it is a serious meditation which you are following, but there are certain anxieties which are common to only these seekers who really mean really to be in earnest and sincere. The first thing that comes is the anxiety about, am I making progress or am I not making progress? And especially there is this tendency to compare yourself either with the other students who are with you or with those who are following another path. The comparison is also made about experiences. These days, as HPP rightly says, this is a cycle of psychism. And so very quickly, people may be following something where very quickly they have psychic experiences. There is a particular kind of meditation you take and you begin to have early on some kind of psychic experience. And the person who is here will say, we are having the same meetings, we are studying day in and day out, but there doesn't seem to be any experience. I want to have experience. So that becomes an anxiety. Why do I not have experience? Then there is another anxiety which comes, which is about, there is no change in me. We want to see a significant change, something which has changed me. I'm the same person. People say, what happened? You have been to theosophy for 20 years, the outsiders, your friends maybe. Same temperament, same impatience. I don't think, are we going to be going by that? Or are we going to be taking up our self-examination every day in the night or in the morning? And imperceptibly we see that there is something which has changed in me. Or else, I am wasting time by not applying theosophy. One of the two should be true. Because it cannot happen that being in theosophy and being in dead earnest and being devoted I won't find any change, not even imperceptible change, in my own judgment and in my own self-examination. It cannot happen. But if I want to see a spectacular change, like I have overcome my anger and this, that's not going to happen. Because we have to be realistic about it. Something which we have built up over so many lifetimes, we are not going to see change in a few years of coming to theosophy and trying to make its application. It's a upward, uphill task. And let us not have any illusion about it. And even when we feel that probably we have not made any perceptible change, but we are sincere, do we mean to say really nothing has happened? There's a beautiful story, which probably you all know also, about a man maybe in the same predicament as any other seeker, and he says to God, I have been following this spiritual life and I find that after so many years I don't find any kind of a change in me. Nothing significant has happened in my life. Give me one reason why I should not quit life itself. And then God says, okay, wait, look around you. And he's shown the fern growing. And you know, fern is a plant which grows very quickly. In few weeks he sees the whole ground is covered with fern. It's like a green carpet on the ground. Then he is told to look at the place where God itself, it seems, has planted a seed of bamboo. And he is told to wait patiently and see. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Only in the fifth year, a small sprout comes. Only a sprout. But in the next 6 months, suddenly the bamboo rises to the height of 100 feet. And God says, can you see the significance now? It has grown to 100 feet. What do you think are the roots like? What was this thing doing underneath for 4 years? It was strengthening the base. That is what happens even in spiritual life. Let's not see perceptible results. Let's not seek them. Perceptible results may not be there. Probably that much time is required for a seeker for strengthening the base. Can you think of building a building, a superstructure of 50 floors, when your foundation is weak? So let the foundation get built and strengthened. We can't see, as Mr. Judge also says, that the soul plant may not be strong enough to bear fruit now. Maybe your soul plant, because each soul is at a different stage of evolution. And some person, if they make a quick advance, that is because they have invested a lot of effort in the prior lives. And some souls are still beginners in this life. So why are we hurrying? Why are we being anxious to make some outward growth? The outward growth in terms of sitting down for meditation and seeing blue light, yellow light, hearing some Om Nad and all that. Let's be patient with that. Why are we also hurrying to make the progress and see the change? Because we are told in the philosophy that when you become a seeker in the true sense, when you determine to live the life, those tendencies, good and bad, which were existing like a complex mixture, which is the case with the most simple, ordinary people, are now going to divide. The very determination is an energy, a force, which will divide them into Kaurava and a Pandava army. And now, every time that you try to overcome a fault in you, there will be a great opposition coming from all your lower nature. And if the foundation is not strong, the karmic stamina is not built, you can be thrown off balance. As HPB says, sometimes psychic derangement can happen. And therefore, as Mr. Jat says, slow progress it may be, but it is at any rate sure. These are words which must be learnt by heart in the Raja Yoga tradition. And in the Raja Yoga tradition, if we make a mistake of thinking that Now with 10 years or 15 years or even 40 years, I will start developing powers, we will be very sadly mistaken. The anxiety for having powers is also misplaced. Because as a master of wisdom says that, it is like the wheels in a music box. When we were young, we used to have some toys which used to be, you know, you had to first turn the key, wind them, and then when you leave, the toy will work. Maybe it's a monkey playing the drum, or it's a music box. As soon as you leave the key, after winding, it will play the music. The master says that the key is taken away by the master, and he will not allow the powers to develop in those who are aspiring to go higher, at least as far as theosophy is concerned. Why? Why? Because, as other teachers also point out, Ramakrishna Paramhansa has given a beautiful example. A person having acquired powers, meaning well, when there is a storm in the sea, he just says stop. It stops. And a huge ship carrying lots of grains going to another country another city where people are suffering in famine, they require the grains, wheat and rice and so on. But he suddenly says stop, the storm stops, the ship is capsized, the grains are gone. Another one capsizes with hundreds of passengers getting drowned. So Ramakrishna Paramhansa says, what good was the power? Is it not necessary that you should have the discrimination also when to use the power? What is occultism that we talk about in theosophy? It is both. It endows a person with power so that he can do the good he desires without even lifting of a finger. But when does it come? It comes when there is great purity, and it comes side by side with spiritual discrimination. So you know when to use the power, how to use the power, where to use the powers. And so if we do not have, there is a reason for not having these powers, which we will misuse unknowingly. We will misuse knowingly because we don't have control over our anger, our lower impulses, our desires and so on. So a great purification must happen before you can even hope to have powers and be anxious about them. The only power, as Light on the Path says, that a disciple should covet is to make himself appear as nothing in the eyes of men. It's a power. Power to make yourself appear as nothing in the eyes of men. And here we are, going for personality development classes so that we can put ourselves forward and people will say, what personality? What charisma? And here we are told, erase the personality, reduce it to a cipher, become as impersonal as you can. So that's the power you should acquire. And that is the power. When you have, you will really, slowly when the time comes, acquire all the needed powers. And also the same Light on the Path says, why do you want to be anxious? Grow as the flower grows, unconsciously, trying to open its soul to the air. You also try to open your heart to the eternal. Let it be the eternal which will draw forth from you the strength and beauty, and not the desire for personal stature, because then you will grow into some kind of a rigid person who may have the knowledge and may rattle out, but without emotions, without feelings, without compassion, without warmth. So, let us not really try to have the ambition to grow, but otherwise, instead, let the eternal within you draw forth the beauty and the strength so that you can grow into luxuriance of purity, into such a pure being that wherever we go, we carry that pure magnetism and acquire the power, as HVB says, to save and to bless humanity. So the only power that we require is of impersonality, and the only power we require is to save and bless humanity. And that is why we are told that once that a person puts himself under the tutelage of a higher chela, in order to become a victorious disciple, only two things are to be done by him. Continually work on his personality so that the impersonality is completely erased and he becomes a selfless being. And the other thing he has to do is give his mind, soul and heart to work for humanity. And why have anxiety, as he himself says? Anxiety puts an invisible obstacle in the path of what you want to get done. He describes that it will create some kind of turbidity in your own aura, that the guidance which should come from your divine will be cut off. All the progress which you are supposed to make will also be stilled. Because without the guidance from the divine, what progress can we make? So can we see now? The anxieties of a seeker is a deadly obstacle in the path of a spiritual aspirant. He has to leave everything to the divine and only open the heart to receive the guidance from the divine and then continue the journey. All in right time will happen. The powers will come, the knowledge will come, the discrimination will come, and all that which we want and all that we are hankering after, so that we can become, as Crosby says, to be the better able to help and teach others, will become available to us. Our time is up, but as we said, this is the last item of the platform work, but we request you all to linger a while and greet each other's ash souls.